We'll be reading verses 26 through 40 of Acts chapter number 8. I will read the even verses, and if you can please read the odd verses along with me aloud. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Again, I'll read the even verses. Please read the odd with me. In verse number 26, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as the sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have at life. Thank you, Lord, that you would give us another opportunity, Lord, to be a son, to be a daughter, to be a husband, to be a wife, to be a Christian. Thank you for our church where we get to come and hear the word of God so we can grow more to be more like you. We pray that you would bless this time. Help us to be focused on thy word. Please be with our pastor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Beside the gate of heaven, waiting to go in. And he wondered how this holy place could take a man like him. With shouts of great rejoicing and with music then they came. Of the angels standing by him, he asked what could be their name. Company of prophets, the goodly fellowship of souls, who spake God's word with faith and boldness, who bless the poor and made the wounded whole. Oh, he fell upon his knees. Of shining ones drew nigh. They entered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. He asked again, Who are these? Can you tell me whence they came? He seemed say the answer in a burning tongue of flame. These are the company of martyrs, the mighty fellowship of saints, who knew our Lord and walked beside him, was heard from far away. Their voices rang with songs of joy, like children at their play. He saw Rahab, he saw David, Mary Magdalene, and Paul. And the thief who died by Jesus was the one who led them all. Who are these? He almost shouted. These are the sinners saved by grace, the host of all who called upon our Savior, washed in blood and justified by
Thank you for that. We're in the book of Acts this morning. We're in a series. They oiled this thing. I did it in Sunday school and it just about slapped me in the face, so fix it there. Don't move. We're in the book of Acts. Of course, we're in our series, a small series on Sunday mornings that goes with our theme, reaching them and teaching them. Today, we're going to see the story about a man who was lost that is found. I read a story of a man named Gabriel Nagy. Many years ago, he lived in Melbourne, Australia. He was in a car accident. As a result of his accident, he lost his memory, and he slipped out of the car and wandered off. He didn't quite remember who he was, and he got away. They couldn't find him. He created a new life for himself. About 20 years later, he started having bits and pieces of his memory back, and he remembered a name, which happened to be his name. And he went in and got himself some insurance, some government insurance underneath that name. Well, at the same time, over 20 years since he had been lost, they were having an inquest to formally announce him as dead because they had not found him in over 20 years. And a police officer that had been looking for him for over 10 years just thought, let me just try one more time. And he happened to go down to check the health records, and sure enough, the guy's name popped up. And after 23 years, that man was reunited with his family. Now, I should have read more of the story. I wonder if his wife had a new husband. Probably a problem there. But anyhow, but he was lost and he was found. We're going to see a story like that, not like exactly like that, but more on a spiritual level. This man was not lost because of amnesia. He was lost in the fact that he did not know Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he was lost in his relationship with God. We read the story and we saw how God sent Philip there. It would seem that in our story that Philip was accompanying John and Peter back to Jerusalem after they had been preaching. As they were headed towards Jerusalem, they were stopping in many of the villages of the Samaritans. They were preaching the gospel, and many people were getting saved. They were doing a great work. You could almost say it was revival meetings. And in the midst of that, God calls Philip and says, I want you to leave here. I want you to go start heading towards the desert. I got something for you to do. Now, in my mind, it would seem, why would he send Philip? Why wouldn't he send Peter or John? These are the two key guys, really, of the 12, but he sends Philip. Philip was not one of the disciples. As he goes in this desert, he meets a man, an Ethiopian. He's on a journey. He was a man who was obviously seeking God. The Bible tells us he came to Jerusalem for to worship. And he goes to Jerusalem and he comes back and he apparently didn't find what he was looking for when he was at Jerusalem. And so as he is on his way back, he's in this chariot and Philip comes up to him. Think of this man who went to Jerusalem to try to find really the living God, the true God. He must have been excited as he went. Now, if you know anything about the religion of that day, the Jews, he must have been very disappointed when he got there. When he got there and he saw that the temple was nothing more than a bunch of religious rituals and really a place where people were profiting off the religion. It was a dead religion. And here he is going back. But we're going to see that his disappointment did not lead him to complete spiritual disillusionment. So if Philip finds this man on the road, and as we are going to see in our story, this man meets Jesus Christ. It's like Jesus said, Philip, I know you've been preaching to the crowds, but this one guy over here, he's a big deal. It isn't always just the crowds, is it? The crowds are made up of individuals. And each individual is important to God. And God takes Philip to talk to him. As we think of our theme this year, reaching them and teaching them, it takes two people in that equation. There's the one who needs to be reached, and there's the other that needs to be willing to teach the one that needs to be reached. If you put those two elements together, as had happens in this story, good things happen. In fact, great things happen. And so today, I want to explain to you the story of a lost man found. This story plays out in 8 parts. Say, I see what time it is. 8, it's not going to be that long. We'll be good. By the way, you don't have to look at your clock because I see the clock right there. And I could totally just blow right through it, okay? I want you to notice the 8 parts. First of all, I want you to see that it's a story of success. Look at verse number 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. This man was a leader under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This man was not just some servant of the queen. This was a man who had a great position. This man, really, he you would almost say he's secretary of the treasury. He oversaw it all. He didn't report to people. People reported to him. In this entourage, there was probably all the people. And here's this great man right there who, in the world's eyes, in the eyes of just society in general, we would say he was a very successful man. The problem with that is this. We tend to measure success incorrectly. What we think success is, God would probably disagree with. Not that God is against people, living in this life and having a good job and all those things, but that's not necessarily success. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So often if you ask a new parent, what do you want for your children ultimately? A lot of times people just give this generic answer. I just want them to be healthy and happy. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be healthy and happy, because the opposite would be unhealthy and miserable. But that's not what life is about. Our goal for our children, our goal for ourselves, ought to be first and foremost that they know Jesus Christ, that they have met him personally and he is now their Savior. Everything else a person can accomplish outside of that is fleeting, and once that person dies, it's worthless. We need to understand success. This man was successful, but just because someone does not have a physical need does not mean that they do not have a spiritual need. So this man was successful, but yet he was out without Christ. I want you to notice number two, it was a story of searching. Look at verse 28. Or at the end of 27, it said, "And had come to Jerusalem for to worship," verse 28, "was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." Now think about this. We know the temple was not a place of true worship. We know that. Jesus had to go in there and chase out the money changers. You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these religious people that did not know Jesus Christ and thought life was nothing more than just doing this and that. But they were not. So this man goes there, and he must have been disappointed. But yet, here he is on his way home. He's reading the prophet Isaiah. Now he apparently bought himself a portion or a scroll of scripture. And even though he probably was totally disappointed with his trip to Jerusalem, as he's leaving, he is still searching for the truth. He figured, I didn't find God in the secular religion, and really, that's all it really was in Jerusalem. But maybe I'll find him in the scriptures. And he was concerned. Look at this man was concerned enough about his spiritual life to travel over 200 miles to Jerusalem. By the way, he didn't take a bus, he didn't fly. It was not easy travel. Now, not everybody is searching for God, but let me just say this. As Christians, some people are searching for God. See, what happens is we look at the outward shell of people and think they've got it right and everything is good and they don't have any needs, but what is going on inside? People put up a front sometimes, don't they? I hear people whine sometimes, and I'll tell you what's going on in the culture, and I hope you don't think I'm whining. Usually I just do it to get my blood pressure up. But listen, this culture is so bad and this world is so bad. Nobody wants God. We're just going to hang on until we get to heaven. Listen, I ain't hanging on to anything, okay? As long as we're here, God wants us to reach out to people. God wants us to share who he is. And let me just tell you something. There are people out there that are looking. Yep. See, the more, and by the way, I'll just throw this at you. We do live in a very wicked society, okay? Very bad. But can I just tell you something? A lot of times the darker it is, the brighter light can shine. The more sin that is rampant in a society, the more emptiness there's going to be inside of individuals. Oh, some people may not be at that point yet. You know, some people are climbing that ladder of success, and they're excited about all the trappings of success, but I guarantee you when they get to the top of the ladder, they're going to look around and say, the ladder is leaning on the wrong wall. But people are open. There are people out there searching. The problem is we think that we need to wait for them to come find us. God says we're supposed to be a witness in this world. We're supposed to be a light in this world. We're not supposed to hide our light under a bushel. It just ought to be out there because there are people that are in need. They're trying to find fulfillment in money and it never works. They're trying to find fulfillment in religion. That never works. They're trying to find money and success. That will not work. They're trying to find fulfillment in relationships, and that will not work. Some are trying to find fulfillment in education and human understanding, and that will never work apart from God.
Right.
Story of searching. But next, it's also a story of surrender. Look at verse 29. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to the chariot. If this man who apparently didn't find what he was looking for in Jerusalem, but he's still searching, he's on his way home, and he didn't get what he came for, there had to be somebody to go up to him to help him, or else he would have just got home and everything would have remained the same. Somebody had to surrender. You know, when God came to Philip and said, hey, I want you to go, I wonder if he's thinking, he's like, here's Peter. I mean, Peter preached at Pentecost. Can't he handle that? Here's John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Can't he go? It's like that song that you, if most of us could change the words of this song, here's what we would change it to. Here am I, Lord, send him. Isn't that how we are? We want somebody else to do it. But Philip was, if that's what God wants me to do, I'll leave the little revival meetings we're having. I'll leave this group that is accomplishing great things, and I'll head to the desert to talk to this one man. He had to surrender. He must have been apprehensive. This was, look, we think of it sometimes, we don't think the Bible through. We think of it, here's a horse and here's a chariot, here's one guy in the chariot, and maybe he had a driver and he's going home. This guy was a man of authority. This man had an entourage. And at the front of the entourage, here he is, the big shot. And here comes Evangelist walking through the desert. But that didn't bother him. He may have thought, this guy's not, I'm going to go right to him. You know what God wants if we're going to help anybody? We need people that surrender, that are willing to look outside of their lives. It's not just about me. What does God want me to do? Who does God want me to help? How can I quit thinking solely that Christianity is nothing more than self-serving, making me feel good, straightening out my life, and all those things are true, but God wants you to get that so you can go help somebody else, but you got to surrender to do it. God commanded and he must do it. No one will receive help unless anybody is obedient to go help them get what they need. You know why evil is taking over in our society? And if you don't understand that, you need to get that. You know why evil is taking over in our society? Because Christians don't say a word. In New York this week, and if you saw the video, I hope that it made you upset to your stomach. New York State passed a new law that a baby can be aborted all the way up until the minute the baby is born. As long as the baby's not born, you can kill it in the womb. I'm talking about full term. And nobody in their right mind would not understand that that's a baby. If you've ever had a child, how excited were you at like, what, 4 or 5 months when the baby starts kicking? You didn't say, oh, there's a blob inside of me causing an issue. I ate something in my stomach. That's a baby. And then as part of that law, sometimes in abortions, the babies would be born. The babies would still be alive. If that happens, they don't have to, they could let the baby die. That's not the most pathetic thing, although that's the pathetic. The pathetic thing is the response after it passed. All of these intelligent legislators standing up and clapping like it was a big thing. Can I just tell you something? That is evil. We wonder why God doesn't just step on our country and squish us now. It's all it is. But you know what? Christians need to stand up. We're afraid to say anything. And God needs someone to surrender, not to be rude, not to be, bad-spirited, just to say, hey, right is right and wrong is wrong, because there are people out there that are looking for the truth. By the way, don't listen to what the media and all that say. There's a lot more people that are focused more towards the truth than aren't. Amen. It's just that they have the mic. But I'm just saying, we need to stand up. We need to be Christians that this world needs help. There has to be somebody. There has to be somebody they can go to that still believes and stands for the truth. Let it be us. Amen. It's also a story of Scripture. Look at verse number 30. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? The Scripture is very important. We can only help people as we help them in relation to the truth of God's word. We can get up all day and tell people what we feel. We could try to give them something we heard on Dr. Phil. The only thing that's good about him is his haircut. Okay? Or something we heard Oprah say. Help us. You know where the real truth comes from? Scripture. And if we're not giving people the truth, how can we really help them? People need the truth. And this man was looking for the answers in the Scripture, which led to the next part of the story. It's a story of soul winning. In verse 31, here's this man. He goes, look, do you even understand what you're reading? And of course he's not, because he doesn't know God. He's searching. Verse 31, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Peter that he would come up and sit with him. Look at verse 34. And it quotes some of the scripture there in Isaiah chapter 53, which, by the way, was the best scripture in the Old Testament to talk about Jesus Christ. That's no coincidence. Verse 34, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? This, of himself, or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him to Jesus. Even though this man had the scripture, something was missing. It wasn't a thing that was missing. It was a person. You see, the Ethiopian had no trouble understanding the manuscript. You can tell from the questions. But he had trouble understanding the ultimate message that was in that manuscript. And so he says, how can I except some man guide me? That reminds me of the Philippian jailer when he comes running out and he runs to Paul and Silas and says, hey, what must I do to be saved? I mean, can I get a witness? When someone comes to you and says, hey, I need the help, truth, what is it? What do I need? What am I missing? And he told him, he didn't say, well, you got to do better. You got to do this. You got to do that. He preached unto him Jesus. That's the answer our society needs. It needs Jesus Christ. Doesn't need our philosophies. It doesn't need our help. It doesn't need us to look at church and how can we do church in a way that people that don't know God or don't love God would enjoy it. That's not what it's about. People need Jesus Christ. I kind of just suspect, and if you're visiting, thank you for being here, but I kind of suspect if a person visits a church, you kind of just expect us to teach the Bible. Is that right? Why don't churches understand that? He said, listen, the only thing that's going to help him is Jesus Christ, and he took off from there. Thank God for that. If you're saved, don't you remember the day that you met Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad that somebody explained that to you? I thank God for that. That leads naturally to the next point. It was a story of salvation. Look at verse 36. And as they went on their way, so he's talking to them and he's witnessing to them. He's telling them the truth of the scripture. He's telling them how he can be saved. He's filling in what he missed in Jerusalem. And then as they went their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? As he's preaching Jesus, the man gets it and he's already a step ahead. He's like, listen, he heard and knew about baptism. Go, hey, there's water. What's keeping me from getting baptized? You ready? Here's the answer. Philip's checking on him to make sure he got the message and accepted it. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's finding out, are you trusting Jesus 100%? The guy goes, I believe. He was saved. He says, now you can get baptized. By the way, it's with all your heart. You know, when someone trusts Christ, it's not like I'll take, you know, Buddha, and I've took, you know, this religion, I've took that religion, I might as well add Christianity on top of it. That's not how salvation works. And if that's how you thought you got saved, I just have something to tell you. You didn't get saved. It's not like, you know, I'll just add it. We had a missionary come to our college one time, and he was talking to someone, I think, from Thailand. And they had I believe it was Thailand, and he went to their house, and they had a little altar above their fireplace, and they had some things that represented their ancestor worship. They were worshiping their ancestors. And on the other side, they had something representing Buddha. Well, he witnessed to the man, and he told him about Jesus Christ and asked if he wanted to trust him. The guy goes, yes, I want to trust him. I'll trust him, and I'll put him up there. I have my ancestor worship already. I'm trusting. I have my Buddha, and I'll put Jesus up there also. And the guy goes, that's not how it works. It has to be with all of our heart, to the exclusion of everything else. And guess what? The man trusted Jesus Christ. People will do that. There are people that are looking. They just have never had someone tell them. I guarantee you what, if we're unwilling to share our faith with people, no one's going to get saved. Well, I talked to someone and they didn't want to listen. Okay. But nobody's ever going to get Jesus Christ if no one tells them. By the way, that's God's method. If someone could get saved without someone talking to them, this guy would have got it because he had the scripture. But like it tells us in Romans, how shall they unless somebody goes to them? And then I want you to see the seventh part, a story of submission. He said, I believe, verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. A real salvation experience is shown in the fact that he's willing to take the next step. Yep. See, you don't need to be baptized to become a Christian. We understand that. Baptism does not make us a Christian. Baptism is a sign after we trust Christ that we have trusted Christ. That's all it is. It's a symbol. It's an outward expression of an inward experience. It's one of the two ordinances that Jesus left in the church. How did he know this man genuinely got saved? One of the signs was that he confessed it with his mouth, which everybody must do. And the second thing is he was willing to express it in outward baptism. And the fact of the matter is he didn't even have to be asked about it. He asked about it. I got saved as a teenager when I was 16 years old, and I did not go to church after that, but I knew I was saved. When I decided to finally start living like a Christian and go to church, I walked into the church, and the first thing I knew I needed to do was be baptized. No one came up to me and said, hey, have you been baptized yet? As I sat there in the service, I went to a couple services. I'm like, I know I need to be baptized because I've trusted Christ and I've never did it. And I went up to him, and I went up. Actually, it was Nick, my son-in-law's dad. He was helping in the baptism that time. I said, I got to be baptized. Because I knew I had to do it. You've been saved and you've not been baptized, you need to. Why? I won't go to heaven? No, but you'll have trouble obeying God if you don't obey him in the first step. And it's submission. That's the Bible pattern. And then lastly, it's a story of shouting. Verse 39. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of God caught away Philip. Can you imagine that? God brings Philip all this way, this one guy, and as soon as he gets saved, God just bolts and takes him out. You're out of here, Philip. We got something else for you to do. And here's the Ethiopian. I just got baptized. He's probably dripping wet. Like, Philip's gone. Okay? He had other work to do. But look what happened. And that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. He got it. You see, what people are looking for to bring happiness and joy in this life is found only in Jesus Christ. That's it. You can try to find it in everything else, and people are searching for it, and I just want to be happy, and I want to have joy, and sometimes they have it if the circumstances are right. Other times, if the circumstances is wrong, oh, well, it's just a tough time. Can I just tell you something? We can have joy because of Jesus Christ. He brings meaning to this life. Now, what's the thing? We play a part in this. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, you can take care of that today. And you can be a lost person found. But I have a suspicion that most of us in here, we've trusted Christ. This is a story that we're supposed to live. There are people out there that need Jesus Christ. They're looking for something in their life. We have the answer. Why in the world do we hold it to ourselves? You say, Pastor Meyer, this is a Sunday night message. No, this is a everyday message. Every person, if you know Jesus Christ, you got to let people know. You cannot keep it to yourself. I'll end with this story. In 1857, missionary Hudson Taylor from England began to minister in China. He led a man to Christ named Mr. Nee. This man was so overjoyed that immediately he started sharing his faith and was reaching people. After a few weeks or so, he came back to Hudson Taylor and he said, "Let me ask you a question. How long have you in England had this story of salvation? How long have you had that?" And Hudson Taylor said, "We've had it for centuries." The man looked at him and said, "My father died searching for the truth and never finding it. Why didn't you come earlier?" There are people that God wants us to reach. We've got to get out of ourselves. Whether it's salvation or just encouraging a new Christian or helping someone that's having a struggle in their life, but we've got to get over ourselves. They're out there. You say, "That's your responsibility. You're the pastor." You're right, it is my responsibility, but it's not my responsibility because I'm a pastor. It's my responsibility because I was a Christian. And I was doing it long before I was ever a pastor. And if I'm ever not a pastor, I'll be doing it long after I'm not a pastor. Yeah. Because I want to be a Christian. And I want people to experience what I've experienced,
yes, sir,
to a little degree. What about you this morning? Let's all stand together just for a minute.